Sports Talk 750.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values were all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets it to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! Ha-ha! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down. Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Finals!
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat your children. Praise be to Allah.
We're back for another edition of Drive Time Sports. KOL 107.3 FM, 750 AM. Jordan Busker ready alongside Travis Anderson. Always happy to be with you on the afternoon drive, and we have plenty to get into today. First question of the day. I think this is going to be a fun topic to talk about. Autograph signing. I think everyone at some point in time in their life has asked someone for an autograph, right?
Yes.
That's probably a fair assessment. Is it a hobby or is it stupid?
I think it's a hobby.
I think it's a hobby. I don't have anything against anyone that goes out and looks for autographs. I think it's a fun hobby. It adds some excitement to whatever it is you're doing at a game. I think it's fun. I don't have a problem with it. I don't necessarily ask for autographs at games anymore. Don't have anything against those who do. I know several who have made it a very fun hobby.
Yeah, nothing wrong with it.
There's nothing wrong with it. In fact, when you pay money to get into a game, it's kind of like a game within the game, right? That's the way I've always viewed autograph signing. It's a game within the game. Now, you do have autograph vultures.
Yes.
Guys who want to get six things signed because they're going to sell six things on eBay.
We don't like those people.
Right. I'm with you there. Now, this is where I'm rolling with this. Pat Neshek, reliever for the Colorado Rockies, ripped Zach Greinke on a message board yesterday, writing that Greinke backed out on a promise to sign baseball cards for him. Now, you're asking, why would Pat Neshek, a reliever who's been around for a long time in the game, be asking another player for an autograph? And really, there's a lot of cool things. Like, I've always thought that being a part of a professional organization, like being a member of the NFL, you're in a fraternity.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you see that on display when these guys go into the Hall of Fame. When these guys play on the same team come Pro Bowl time. Same thing in the NBA. Look, the NBA right now is more of a fraternity than it has ever been.
Yes, it is.
All you have to do is look at the length of guys teaming up with one another. That would have never have happened in the 80s. It's a fraternity. And it's it's custom now. Pretty regularly, if you pay attention, you will see guys exchange jerseys at midfield following a football game. You see that all the time now.
Yeah, I think that's cool.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with it. I mean, you have a guy like Odell Beckham going up against Richard Sherman throughout an entire game. They'll swap jerseys with one another. I don't know if those two have ever swapped. I'm just using that as an example.
You go back to last year when the Steelers and the Patriots played. Ben Roethlisberger, before the game, who didn't play in the game, went up to Tom Brady and was like, hey, I've never done this before, but I want your jersey. Tom Brady said, absolutely, I'll send it to you.
Yeah, they swapped jerseys.
It's kind
of
cool.
It's a sign of respect, right?
Yeah. Ben Roethlisberger's like, I want your jersey in my office. It's the only one I want.
Yeah, it's a sign of respect. So I think that's where Pat Neshek is coming from here. Again, he's been around for a while. Got a really unorthodox delivery. You know who Pat Neshek is. If you don't know who he is by name, you would know him if you seen him. He asked Zach Greinke to sign a couple of autographs for him in an All-Star game. And at that point in time, Neshek was with the Phillies. Greinke, they were teammates on the National League squad. Neshek, this is a quote. This is what he wrote on the board. I asked him at the All-Star game if he would sign for me, and he said he would. So a couple of weeks ago, we played them, and I sent over the cards I needed signed. Basically, three league leaders cards with Kershaw and Wainwright already done, and two from a 2015 complete set. He said no. I waited around for him during batting practice. I went up to him, and he totally denied having the conversation at the All-Star game. I then asked him why this was a problem, and he said, because I wear him out. Hard to wear someone out when he has never signed for me. This is the only a-hole in Major League Baseball that has been a turd to me. Interesting. I found this story interesting because when I go to games, in fact, I just went to a game this last weekend, a professional contest. I went to an NFL contest on Sunday. And when I see professional football players or basketball or baseball players, when I see any professional or college athlete, I'll put it that way, signing for a little kid, that is the ultimate in my mind. It's, you know, we saw the video of T.Y. Hilton going up and giving a kid a hug on the sideline last year, and the kid went ballistic. He'll never forget it. And the way I've always viewed it, and I saw this on Sunday. I saw this on Sunday with two individual players where I noticed children's reactions. Todd Gurley signed a lot of autographs, and I saw a couple of kids just lose their mind when Todd Gurley signed for him. And I saw Josh Norman sign a couple of autographs. And Washington Redskins, a couple of young kids, lost their mind when Josh Norman signed for him. That right there is awesome, and that's what it's all about. Now, with that being said, I really don't have a problem with an athlete when he doesn't sign for a grown man.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that.
I've never had a problem with that. In fact, when I see an athlete turn away a grown man and go to a kid, I salute that athlete. Is that the same thing here with Neshek and Greinke? You know a little bit more about Pat Neshek than I do. He's an autographed hound. This is what he does. It's a hobby. He tries to get complete sets signed.
Yeah, at one point tried to get the 1985 top set. I think there's like 785 cards. He tried to get every member of that 1985 set his autograph. I'm not sure how far he got, but yeah. And Neshek has a, he has his address on his profile where you can send him a self-addressed stamp and an envelope, and he'll send you an autograph back. He likes to trade. Yeah. He'll reach out and try to trade.
It's a hobby for him. And look, if you're listening right now and you say, who cares about this story? To me, it is relevant in the world of sports because, again, you will never go to a professional or college game where you will not see a kid trying to get an autograph. It happens at every sporting event. There's always a kid trying to get an autograph. And I salute the athletes that take the time out and they sign for kids. In fact, some of my favorite athletes that I have ever interviewed are some of my favorite athletes because I've seen the way they interact with kids. And that's why I like a lot of the professional athletes that I've come in contact with because they give kids the time of day. It is different when it's an adult. And so I really don't know which side I'm on. Zach Greinke then later told Neshek, I wouldn't sign for your kid if he came up and asked me.
Yeah.
So now it sounds like Greinke has a problem with Neshek.
Yeah, Greinke's just one of those guys who's just socially awkward, and he's dealt with some problems in that department.
It's a different type of conversation, but like I said, I will never fault an athlete for refusing to sign for a grown man. Never. So I guess I'm somewhat siding with Zach Greinke here. Because if you're a grown man and you're asking for an autograph, I know there are grown men who love autographs. But I understand an athlete not signing for a man because at the end of the day, what do most adults do with autographs? I said most. What do most adults do with autographs?
They sell them.
They sell them. What do kids do with autographs? They cherish them.
And maybe that's Neshek. He's trying to get Greinke's on that with Clayton Kershaw and Adam Murray. That's a pretty cool card to have if he could have Greinke's on it. I mean,
Does Greinke sign for kids? I don't know.
I've never seen it.
Anyways, that's one of those abstract conversations. In my opinion on it, again, athletes need to sign for kids. I don't think they have any obligation to sign for adults. Let's talk Major League Baseball here for a moment as we're down to the final couple of weeks. We had some finals earlier today. The Yankees picked up an 11-3 win over the Minnesota Twins. Big win there for the Yankees. Big loss there for the Twins.
Twins now one up on the Angels.
Yeah, it's getting down to it. I mean, the Twins now 78-74. The Angels 76-74. It is really, really getting close as far as the AL wild card goes. That's a final from earlier today. The A's defeated the Tigers 3-2 in a meaningless baseball contest, and it was the Marlins over the Mets, again meaningless. They beat the Mets 9-2. Still to come tonight, we have Boston at Baltimore. The Dodgers will take on Philadelphia. The Dodgers losing to the Phillies again last night. I thought the Dodgers had gotten past this. Is it still time to worry if you're a Dodger fan, or do you think that they've been able to right the ship?
I think you should be a little worried heading into the playoffs. They haven't played well.
No, they have not. Losing to the Phillies again. Alex Wood on the mound tonight for the Dodgers. Milwaukee at Pittsburgh at 5:05. We get Kansas City at Toronto, St. Louis at Cincinnati, and the Cubs will take the Rays. I come to this conclusion with the Cubs. The Cubs are playing possum.
Yeah.
They're sleeping right now. They remind me of, this is the way I envision NBA free agency. When Kevin Durant signed with the Golden State Warriors, I viewed Greg Popovich laying in his hammock with his straw sun hat over his eyes. He woke up, he looked around, rolled over, took a drink out of his tea, and went back to sleep. That's what I think Greg Popovich did when Kevin Durant elected to sign with the Golden State Warriors. When the Dodgers went on this tear, the Cubs were asleep. The Cubs didn't care. I could be wrong on the Cubs. I said it would be the Cubs and Dodgers in the NLCS for the second straight year. I think that's probably what we get again. And I don't think the Cubs care one iota that they are only three games up in their division. I don't think they care at all.
No, they're just continually just, you know, grinding through to get to the playoffs and then turn it on.
Washington at Atlanta in the 5 o'clock hour as well. We get the White Sox at the Astros. The Diamondbacks travel on the road to take on the Padres. We get Cleveland at the Angels tonight in the 8 o'clock hour nightcap. It's Texas and Seattle. We have one game going on right now, San Francisco just destroying the Rockies.
And that will mean that the Brewers win. They are tied in the wild card.
Unbelievable. The Rockies falling by the wayside. Ah, you know, Rocky fans, we go to the middle of the eighth. They trail 4-0. Bud Black was supposed to be the man to get the Rockies over the hump.
They did for a little bit, and then they didn't make any major moves to get, upgrade the pitching or the bullpen.
They didn't. They really didn't. They got Neshek.
They got Neshek, and he's trying to get autographs and not getting the playoffs.
We got a break for just a moment. We have more Drive Time Sports coming up. A lot of local sports coming your way today. Coach John Famalo is going to join us. We're going to continue to preview the Cole Bowl, which is taking place this Friday here on KOAL. We're also going to talk to Harvey Howard. The Castle Kitchen Clash is right around the corner. Biggest race in this area throughout the year. He's going to join us. We'll talk about that. Plus, we have more national sports coming up. It is a Wednesday edition of Drive Time Sports. KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
Say farewell to summer with huge savings at Sutherland's. It's time to put away those hoses with ease. Get a deluxe heavy-gauge all-steel hose caddy with four smooth rolling tires and a low center of gravity to reduce tipping. All this for only $39.99. Even though summer is over, football season is starting. Gas grills are ideal for cooking outdoors year-round. Save big on a Charbroil plastic six-burner gas grill. It's the beast of all grills. Only $275. Sutherland's, saving you more.
You did it. You survived the summer, having kids home, road trips, driving to sports tournaments all summer long. It's time to reward yourself. How about a new vehicle just for you? The lending pros at Desert View Federal Credit Union are here to help. Come into a branch today in Huntington and Farron for a quick and easy pre-approval and a great interest rate. At Desert View Federal Credit Union, they make it easy to reward yourself. Enjoy your new ride. You've earned it.
Membership and eligibility apply. Loans on approved credit. Member NCUA.
Mom guilt. We all feel it. Our after-school hours are packed with games, practices, lessons, homework. Between work, grocery shopping, laundry, cleaning the house, how do you do it all and still get a delicious meal on the table every night? Moms, it's time to let it go. KFC has dinner covered. Pick up an 8-piece meal deal tonight. KFC's Extra Crispy $20 fill-up has 8 pieces of crunchy extra crispy chicken, a large coleslaw, 4 biscuits, and 2 large mashed potatoes and gravy. Enough for the whole family. Feed the family and make it to all your events, too. With KFC, it's always a win-win.
Reporting from the KOAL Newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini with a look at local sports. Yesterday on KOAL's Drive Time Sports, we were joined by Carbon Dino football coach Josh Huntsman as we prepare for this upcoming Friday's Cole Bowl contest between Carbon and Emory. Now, the Dinos will enter this contest sitting 0-5 on the season. Most recently, they opened up region play with a 33-20 loss to the Union Cougars. Coach Huntsman started by addressing and assessing his team's performance in this past Friday's contest.
Yeah, I thought our kids played extremely hard. They were, you know, they were in the ball game from beginning to end, and you know, we did a lot of good things. We just didn't get the W. We went hurry up offense with them and tried to make them just as tired as our boys were, and so it definitely paid off for us at the end of the ball game where, you know, we had an opportunity to put ourselves in a position to win it. Just fell up a little short.
Coach Huntsman continued by talking about the Emory Spartans, this Friday's opponent.
They do run the ball well, and we definitely have to stop the run game. If we can stop the run game and force them into throwing the football, we think we have a better chance at victory.
Stay tuned to Castle Country Radio. We'll have more on this contest in the coming days, and we'll also catch up with Coach John Famalo of Emory High School. Right around the corner, it's the Battin' for Boobies Co-Ed Softball Tournament. This is a charity fundraising event in conjunction with October's National Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Again, this tournament will take place Saturday, October 7th. Get your pink gun in Price, Utah, the Carbon County Fairground Softball Complex. The cost is $20 per team, plus quarter buckets for each run scored. There's a three-game guarantee, double elimination format. And also right around the corner is the Millsite Golf Course's Monster Mash. This is a four-person scramble. This will also take place on Saturday, October 7th. There's a 10 a.m. shotgun start, and the cost is $60 per player. That includes lunch,
one mulligan, green fees, and a cart. Contact the Millsite Golf Course at 384-2887 to register. You'll find more news, sports, and community events at CastleCountryRadio.com. Reporting from the KOAL Newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini.
I'm Matt Ray with America's Morning News, Journalism Without Agenda. Join me weekday mornings right here for the latest breaking news, interviews, commentary, and sports. From Wall Street to Main Street, we have the day's top stories that impact you the most. America's Morning News, weekday mornings right here, Journalism Without Agenda.
From 4 to 7 weekday mornings on News Talk 107.3 FM and 750 AM KOAL.
Ready to start planning those holiday get-togethers? Yes, you heard me right. Holiday get-togethers are just around the corner. Don't wait until the last minute to get your catering scheduled. Big Mo's can cook a full meal, or you can choose meat and cheese trays with pasta or potato salad. Don't forget the mouth-watering rolls, yummy cookies, or fresh homemade pies. The holidays will be here before you know it, and your to-do list is only going to get bigger. Get your holiday dinner party checked off now. Call Big Mo's today at 636-0451.
At Emory Medical Center, patients are like family with the most comprehensive care around, including on-site x-rays and lab work. Emory Medical Center gives quality health care in one convenient location with doctors and physicians who put the patient first. Emory Medical is excited to announce the return of physician's assistant Lowell Morris. To make an appointment with Lowell or any of the other trusted providers, call 381-2305. Emory Medical Center, your friends, your neighbors, your providers.
You watch the games, you follow the team, you wear the colors with pride, and you have questions, and only one man can answer them. Get the answers to the tough questions.
Yesterday, we started talking about the Cold Bowl with Coach Josh Huntsman of the Carbon Dinos. Today, we're going to continue our weekly coverage. Cold Bowl coming up Friday night right here on KOAL 107.3 FM, 750 AM, and also ETV 10. We're going to be along with you looking forward to it. Carbon and Emory, huge region competition. Both squads 0-5, 0-1 in league action. And again, yesterday we talked to Coach Josh Huntsman. Today we're going to talk to Coach John Famalo, who is joining us over the phone right now. Coach, always a pleasure. Thank you.
Hey, not a problem. Appreciate it.
Coach, we'll start by talking about this past Friday's setback. You and I did have a lengthy conversation during the post-game show here on the radio, but we'll go back to it. I mean, a tough contest for your team to lose. Final score 35-33 in a game in which you guys really outplayed Judge Memorial hands down in the second half. Had a couple of plays that didn't quite work out in your favor, specifically early on. But, I mean, all in all, I'm sure there's plenty of positives despite the fact this team did suffer a loss.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it was nice to see us put some points on the board. Defensively, we got a touchdown. So, you know, there were certainly some good things that we took from it. And, you know, I think the kids' attitudes are, you know, positive in the fact that, okay, hey, we're starting to get the ball rolling in the right direction and we're starting to understand some things that we've been trying to get across. And so it's been really good.
You and I talked about how the first play from scrimmage was a disaster. Obviously, it resulted in 8 points for Judge Memorial because they took a broken play on the extra point attempt, and that turned into 2 more points. So it was 8-0. And then the final minute and a half, minute 45 of the first half, I mean, really, if you remove a minute 50 from this game, you guys come out on top. I mean, was that kind of the clear picture as you go back and you watch a video now a few days later?
Yeah, I mean, those turnovers are critical. I mean, like you say, that first one cost us 8 points. The one right before the half with the interception, and then, you know, they had a two-play drive that they scored again. You know, that's 15 points that we gave up there that, you know, love to have those, like you say, that minute 50 back. But, you know, I'm just hoping kids recognize and understand the importance of every possession and every play. And, you know, that's a learning experience to hopefully move forward that way.
I thought going into this game that Judge maybe was a little down from what we have seen in the past, and I think that's kind of the consensus thought across the board from everyone that I've talked to. But at the same time, it's a pretty athletic football team. It's a good squad. One of the better teams I think we played this year.
Yeah, I mean, they had a pretty good running back. I mean, they ran the ball well. Quarterback was pretty athletic and actually threw the ball well. I mean, threw a couple over the top on us, and, you know, they had some speed. Probably weren't as physical as they've been in the past on the front line, which, you know, I think helped us. You know, we've seen some pretty tough fronts. And so, you know, they're down, but they're still, you know, going to be a dangerous team in our region.
Yeah, I think they have the athletes. Definitely a team that you would not want to play. You know, when you and I had talked after the game, I asked you how the kids responded to the loss, how they were reacting to the loss, and you said you had kids crying, but that's something that you like because that means that they're bested. That means you have kids that actually want to play. Have you noticed a difference in the kids this week in practice over the course of Monday and Tuesday compared to what you've seen so far this year, or was it kind of about the same?
You know, it was about the same. You know, I think it's tough to gauge some of these kids where they're at, but honestly, I felt like, you know, we've always had a positive attitude. I don't think I've had any kids that felt like, hey, we've kind of given up on the season or what we have. So I haven't got that vibe or that feeling. And so for me, I feel like the kids, you know, if anything, have a little bit better attitude, positive attitude towards, you know, what's happening and what we're doing offensively and defensively.
There were a couple of drives in this game that I know were exactly what you guys want as far as sustaining an efficient drive. Of course, there were the big plays. Rance had a couple of really big plays in this game. But all in all, is this the best offensive performance you've seen from your team this year?
Yeah, by far. Like you say, we were able to establish the run, and by establishing the run, it allowed us to do some other things, to throw the ball down the field a little bit. And, you know, some kids made some incredible catches, and, you know, that's what we need. When we need a play down the field, we need kids to, you know, make a play. We haven't had that. You know, James made a few plays in the past in a few games, but, you know, at Easton, they made some great catches. At Colton, made some great catches, as well as Snow. So, nice to see some of those kids step up and make some big plays.
Definitely the best game we've seen from Rance. I mean, he has that big play capability. We've seen that all year, but he actually brought it to the table in this contest. You had mentioned to me in weeks past, you know, Rance kind of being able to identify a cutback lane and taking advantage of it. Coach, it looked like he did that in this contest. Without me going back and watching it a second or a third time and just based off memory from Friday night, it looks like he did, in fact, take advantage of several cutback lanes that were available for him.
Yeah, and then, you know, that's what we try to tell them. And, you know, and basically it starts with our linemen and getting in position to be able to create those cutback lanes and getting their shoulders squared at the line of scrimmage and getting a drive. And, you know, then it's up to Rance to make that play. And so, you know, the line did a great job up front, and then Rance was able to read the cutback lanes. And once he hit those, you know, he made some big plays. And, you know, it's fun to watch when that happens.
No, it definitely is. Again, our guest right now is Coach John Famala with the Emory Spartan football team. Coach, we'll fast forward ahead and talk about Friday. It's an important game. They call it the Cole Bowl. You guys have had the Cole Bucket for quite some time. But all that kind of goes out the door, I think, when these two teams get together. Yes, it's a big rivalry game, but at the end of the day, the most important aspect, at least in my mind, is the winner of Friday's contest puts themselves in a spot to actually play host to a playoff game once we get to Week 10.
You know, and that's what we got to keep sight of. I mean, certainly the rivalry game, but we get a win. It certainly puts us in a position to, like you say, have a home playoff game, which is a big deal. And so that's what I'm looking at, and hopefully that's what the kids are looking at. You know, rivalry put aside, we got to take care of business. And, you know, both teams are, you know, 0-5, but I think I've watched film with Carbon, and every game they've been in, and they, you know, they play hard. And so we got our work cut out for us, and it's not going to be an easy game, and our kids know that. And so we're going to come in fighting and hopefully come out with a W.
Does it add to the, I guess, the difficulty of trying to keep the kids focused on the fact that it's not necessarily a rivalry game, but a very important game in the standings, knowing that it is homecoming this week as well, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's the stuff that, you know, you worry about is all the other stuff that's happening. And, you know, that's kind of what I told them is, you know, you enjoy the experience of the homecoming, but you got to stay focused on, you know, what's at stake, so far as make sure we take care of business, and being focused up to be able to, again, take care of your assignments. And I think if we do that, we'll be just fine.
It's probably easier to relay that message to a senior-laden team, which is not the case this year with this football squad. It's a new experience for some of these guys.
No, it is. You know, and you take that for the fact that sometimes, you know, when you're young and dumb, that's not a bad thing either. But at the same time, you got to be, hopefully, again, we have pretty good leaders as far as those seniors, even though there's not very many. We have some great leadership in Drake and Colton Wilson and some of those kids, you know, expecting some things out of these younger kids to step up and help them get the victory.
Coach, let's talk about Carbon here for a moment. This is a team that is very similar to you guys as far as numbers go. I think that they are a much improved team from what we've seen over the last two or three years. I think you're finally starting to see what Josh Huntsman wants to implement with this squad, you know, actually show up on Friday nights. Yeah, they haven't won a game yet this season, but they have been in every single contest outside of that game against Duchesne. So, you know, for a program that has struggled mightily here over the last, I don't know, 10 years or so to be in every single game, I'm seeing confidence built within this Carbon team. What have you noticed about them when you watch them on film?
Oh, and that's it. And I mean, it seems like they have a similar problem to us where they kind of kill themselves with turnovers and, you know, dumb penalties and things like that. You know, if they don't do that, that's some wins I'm sure they're looking at just like us. And so, you know, that's what I see, a confident team, and the fact that they got some pretty good skill players and the Olsen kid, they got a great fullback, a big old kid that can move, and you know, the quarterback's pretty good too. So they've got some weapons and they've got some size, and you know, watching them, they're a smash mouth team. They're going to bring it at you, and you know, it's hat on hat, and you know, you're going to have to stop them. They're doing similar to us in the fact that they just want to chunk it away and get 3, 4, 5 yards of play, and you know, just drive down the field. And so we're going to have to really step up our game, especially inside on the interior, to shut that down.
You mentioned Nate Olsen, a kid that has gone over the 200-yard mark in one game already this season. He's big play capability every time he touches the ball. He's a game breaker. I mean, especially if he gets out into the open field. You guys did have some success on Nate Olsen last year. How similar is this Carbon offense this season compared to last? And if so, I mean, how difficult was it to actually key in on a kid like Nate Olsen?
Like you say, it's I mean, he is where he's at. I mean, he's a great kid. He runs the ball well. You know, and we put our focus on him defensively, but, you know, he's going to get his. You know, he's going to get a few here and there. What we can't give him is, you know, last year I think we gave him a big play down the sideline. You know, that's one thing we can't allow. You know, he'll get 3, 4, 5. You know, he'll get a 10-yard run here or there, but, you know, we got to limit those for the fact that we can't give up a big play to him. Or any of the other players, but, you know, he's the biggest threat, I think, so far as that side of the ball.
I talked to Coach Josh Huntsman earlier in the week, and he mentioned Carbon playing fast offensively. They want to play fast. A little bit different than what you guys want to establish. You want to take off, you know, 5, 6 minutes each time you have an offensive possession. So in a game like this, I mean, is it as simple as saying whichever offensive squad makes the opposing team play into their hand kind of has the advantage?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I could say for us, if we can have ball control and, you know, and then score on those possessions, you know, I'll certainly take that over, you know, scoring quick ones. And then, you know, we're playing defense. If we can get guys off the field, then, yeah, it's a different story. But I certainly want to do ball control and take care of the ball and limit our turnovers. And, you know, and I think if we can jump on them a little bit, you know, that makes them a little bit more one-dimensional as far as maybe throwing the ball, and, you know, they're still good at it, but I think that's something I'd rather have them be doing than, you know, running it right at us.
Before I let you go, Coach, we'll talk about the injury front. Did not have A.C. Reed for this last contest. What's his status look like for this game on Friday?
I think he's a go. I hope he's a go. He's a little banged up, but, you know, I think he's a kid. It's a senior year. I don't think he wants to miss any more games, so I think he'll be there and he'll be playing, so glad to have him back.
Outside of that, we're good to go as far as injuries?
Yeah. I think everybody else was good. Yeah.
Well, Coach, definitely looking forward to Friday's contest. I'm always appreciative of you taking out the time to join us, so thank you very much and best of luck.
Hey, thank you, Jordan. Appreciate it.
My pleasure. That's Coach John Famalo of the Emory Sport and Football Squad. We've got to take a quick commercial break. More local sports coming up. When we return, we're going to move over to talk Desert Thunder Raceway. Big, big event coming up. It's the Castle Country Clash. It's right around the corner. We'll talk about that when we return.
Grandma, why is your internet faster here at your house than mine is in Salt Lake?
Because we have eFiber Internet from Emory Telecom. With eFiber, we have the fastest internet anywhere.
Look, I don't have to wait for my movies to load, and I can play my video game at the same time.
Did you know there are a lot of areas along the Wasatch Front that still don't have fiber, and there are no plans to add it?
That's one of the reasons I like to come stay with you. Oh, and the chocolate chip cookies.
Increase time with your grandkids because of eFiber from Emory Telecom. Call them today at 613-9605.
You have heard of the name Bent Metal Off-Road, but how do you find them? Go to BentMetalOffroad.com or stop by the shop, located at the end of 1955 North in Carbonville, just across the tracks from Grog's.
Who offers action? Horror? Romance?
Here's looking at you, kid.
Comedy? Or family entertainment?
the King Cool, and Price Theaters.
And action.
Escape reality and enjoy the latest blockbusters right here in town. Like Price Theaters on Facebook, so you have instant access to what's playing where and at what time. Showings are 7 nights a week beginning at 7, and Saturday and Sunday matinees at 2 p.m. at the King Cool and Price Theaters.
At Castleview Physical Therapy, they know your health is very important to you. That is why they take pride in offering you the highest quality of rehabilitation. Castleview is the only clinic in the area to be able to offer aquatic therapy. Their warm water pool is inviting and effective in providing a safe method to heal injuries. They are happy to offer this service that has been proven to be one of the best rehab environments to make exercise safer, more relaxing, and less painful. Come in and see how Castleview's aquatic therapy can help make your road to recovery a pleasant one. Call Castleview Physical Therapy today at 636-4841.
Grab your blanket, coat, and family, and come on out to the Carbon County Fairgrounds, September 22nd and 23rd, for the USU Eastern College Rodeo. Pick your favorite of over 300 cowboys and cowgirls and 11 college rodeo teams from Utah, Idaho, Wyoming, and Colorado, and cheer them on as they continue their quest to qualify to compete against the world at the College National Finals Rodeo. It's cowboy against cowboy, college versus college, as they compete in all the extreme rodeo events: bull riding, bareback riding, saddle bronc riding, roping, and barrels. 2 hours of action-packed thrilling competition each night at 7 p.m. with championship rounds Saturday night featuring the top 10 in each event. It's affordable. Pre-sale tickets are just $5. 6 to 12 year old just $3, and available at IFA and Price and Castle Valley Supply in Huntington. Tickets to the gate are $7 for adult, $4 6 to 12 years old. Come watch the extreme action at the USU Eastern College Rodeo September 22nd and 23rd. Rodeo starts nightly at 7 p.m. This is USU Eastern Aggies Rodeo. Everybody get loud.
Hey, this is Eric Amarola, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports on AM 750.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM, 750 AM. We're going to move away from the traditional local sports talk, some auto racing, for this particular segment. Coming up September 29th and 30th, it's the Castle Country Clash. Joining us over the phone to talk about that, we have Desert Thunder Raceway track owner Harvey Howard. Harvey, a pleasure as always to get you on the show. Thank you for calling in today.
Yep, thank you for having me on. We're getting wound up for the final and biggest race of the year, the 29th and 30th, and looking forward to it, getting excited. We've got some big things going on, so looking forward to it.
Definitely. Before we dive into the final weekend of races, Harvey, I want to talk about the season in general, the 2017 season for you guys in general, because you expanded the schedule from what we had in 2016. So all in all, going back and looking at the last, you know, three sets of races that we've had so far this year, how has 2017 been for the track?
You know, it's been good. Our car counts have been really good. They've actually been up around 20 for our main classes. So that has been good. So it's been good just having them spread out throughout the year, and we had a lot of people show up and enjoy them. And we've got a lot of indication that we're going to have a whole bunch of people here for the final, this Castle Country Clash.
Definitely a beautiful thing. On top of all that, you and I were talking off of the cuff. A lot of emphasis has been added to the stock cars for this final weekend.
Yes, we've done a bunch with sponsors for the stock cars. We've had some of the stock car guys actually step up themselves. Gene Henry with Quality Crushing has put a bunch of money up for them guys to come in here and put on a big show. So, well, we're looking for around 30 stock cars, and that's something that we've never seen here at Desert Thunder Raceway. So you're looking at starting out 24 of what I would call the best stock cars in the West, and all on one track, one main event. It's gonna be pretty exciting. So I'm looking super forward to that. You know, we've got the other classes, and I'm sure they'll be just as big. But that stock car show, we're bringing people in from, as far south as Texas and north as Idaho and, east and west everywhere for this big show.
Now, as long as I have talked to you here on the show, Harvey, I've always kind of viewed the IMCA Modifieds as the main event. Is it fair to say that the stock cars are now pushing to be the main event at the track?
you know, they're pushing. Sure, they would love for that to happen. Basically, this Castle Country Clash coming up, they're going to be the main event. As far as car numbers go, really what we've seen is we've seen the stock cars and the sport mods catch up with the modifieds. So, you know, basically they've all been building their own class and creating a bigger and better situation for themselves. And really, as a track, we're here to hopefully take advantage of that and to make a good race for them and give them some place to finish up their championships and make sure everything goes off with a bang.
Any local names in the stock car class that people will recognize?
You know, Gene Henry is who I call local. One of the other locals that everybody will recognize is Sean Parrish. Sean won a big race over in Miller County this year and has been doing a great job, working his way up through the ranks. And, so Sean Parrish is somebody that we need to be watching out here this coming weekend.
Again, we're joined right now by Desert Thunder Raceway track owner Harvey Howard. Harvey, let's move away from the stock cars. We'll talk IMCA modifieds here for a moment. Again, that's typically the class you and I are spending a lot of time on, going over some of the participants who are looking for state and even national championships, alone from the track championships that'll be decided with the Castle Country Clash. How have the locals performed throughout the entire season, not only here locally, but throughout the entire season, and what type of state national points will be on the line in this race?
Well, you know, one big thing that has happened this year, local racers Nikki Stubbings and Wyatt Howard, they both have been racing around. Nikki Stubbings actually won a race over in Miller County this year and did really well in all the races that he was in over there. Wyatt Howard won the track championship at Miller County and won a couple of races over there. So them are the two main local racers that have been out there pounding the dirt this year. You've got your national and local and regional points that are going on. We raced against a gentleman named Corey Sample over in Miller County, and these guys did really good against him. He's probably going to go on and be the national champion. I don't know that he's going to make it to the Clash, but, hopefully he can make it over and make that part of it. So,
plenty of excitement at the Castle Country Clash. Again, it's going down September 29th and 30th. The IMCA modifieds, the sport mods, the stock cars, the thunder trucks, the hobby stocks, the mini stocks. I mean, those are all the classes that, the traditional fans love out there at the track, Harvey, and there's plenty to bring in even the lighthearted racing fans who maybe have never been out there to the track.
Yeah, it's an exciting time. You know, if you've never been to a race and been sitting, 20, 30 feet from a full-blown modified or sport mod, even the stock cars, when they go past you at 70 or 80 miles an hour, it just kind of makes your whole body shake and, feeling the vibration off of the cars. It's pretty exciting. If you've never done it, you need to come out and check it out. It's an awesome time.
Let's talk about the price of admission, Harvey, for next weekend. What are we looking at as far as adults, kids, and even the pit passes, the weekend pass? I mean, everything that you have to offer as far as admission for this particular event.
Okay, everybody can come in the pits if they want. If they want to buy a pit pass, they're only $15, so that's pretty cheap, to do that. Entry fee is $35, and that gets the car and driver both in, so it's not very expensive to come and race with us. And our family pass for each night is going to be $25. That's three kids up to the age of 16 and two adults, so that's a good deal. Friday night adults will be $8. Kids 6 to 12 will be $5, and seniors will be $5. Under 6 is free. And then Saturday night is $10 for adults, $6 for 6 to 12 and seniors, and under 6 is free. So some good deals, and try to make it cheap enough that everybody can come out and have a good time. We're also going to have a great concession stand again, provided by Jana and the guys down there at
Well, you guys, you always do a tremendous job, Harvey, of making sure that this event is family-friendly, it's affordable, you make sure that everybody goes out there, has an enjoyable time, and I'll tell you, the weather has actually been kind of cool. Does it matter out there for the track, for the drivers, and for the cars? I mean, is it better in certain temperatures?
No. No, it's actually faster if it's colder, and, it makes the engines run better, it makes the track hold moisture better. When we're watering it, so it's got more traction. So, as the weather cools off a little bit, the cooler it gets, the better it's going to be for the racing. If it's cooling off a little bit and a little bit chilly, make sure that you bring your coats with you so you can make sure you stay till the end of the races.
Definitely, definitely. Harvey, it is always fun to get you on and talk a little bit about what you guys have up and coming. Again, this is the Castle Country Clash, September 29th and 30th. You definitely don't want to miss it. The last set of races for the year. Harvey, I know we'll talk again real soon. If we don't talk next week, we'll get you on after. We'll recap everything.
Okay, sounds good. I appreciate your help, and thank you.
Oh, my pleasure. That's Harvey Howard, owner of the Desert Thunder Raceway, again talking about the Castle Country Clash coming up September 29th and 30th. We're going to break for just a moment. When we come back, we'll move over to the Nationals.
Mom?
Dad?
Try to understand.
Sometimes I'm going to be a little impulsive.
Sometimes I'm going to be a lot impulsive.
I mean, I'm a teenager.
Like when I went through that really bad breakup.
It's in both Price and Castledale. Dr. Jeffrey has experience with breast surgery, gallbladder, pancreatic, liver disease, and upper and lower gastrointestinal disease. And, of course, common preventative procedures such as endoscopy or colonoscopy. To schedule your appointment with Dr. Jeffrey for either Price or Castledale, call 613-7874. That's 613-7874.
Your car hasn't been running right, and you finally have a weekend free to start working on it. Well, lucky for you, J&D Automotive has extended their Saturday hours to help you get what you need to get the job done. J&D Auto's parts department will be open from 9 to 5 on Saturdays. At J&D Auto, you'll find name brand parts and an expert staff who can make sure you're getting all you need to get the job done right. The next time you're looking for the right part to get the job done, head to J&D Automotive on Main Street in Castledale. And now on Saturdays from 9 to 5.
Grab your blanket, coat, and family, and come on out to the Carbon County Fairgrounds, September 22nd and 23rd. For the USU Eastern College Rodeo, pick your favorite of over 300 cowboys and cowgirls and 11 college rodeo teams from Utah, Idaho, Wyoming, and Colorado, and cheer them on as they continue their quest to qualify to compete against the world at the College National Finals Rodeo. It's cowboy against cowboy, college versus college, as they compete in all the extreme rodeo events, bull riding, bareback riding, saddle bronc riding, roping, and barrels. 2 hours of action-packed thrilling competition each night at 7 p.m. with championship rounds Saturday night featuring the top 10 in each event. It's affordable. Pre-sale tickets are just $5. 6 to 12-year-old, just $3. And available at IFA in Price and Castle Valley Supply in Huntington. Tickets to the Gator, $7 for adult, $4, 6 to 12 years old. Come watch the extreme action at the USU Eastern College Rodeo September 22nd and 23rd. Rodeo starts nightly at 7 p.m. This is USU Eastern Aggies Rodeo. Everybody get loud.
Every great team starts with a great coach, and we at Jake Miller Financial Services want to be your financial coaches. It is our mission to help clients understand their financial lives and achieve their financial dreams. Let our experience and knowledge guide you through the game of life as we provide you with only the highest quality of information and services to help you reach your financial goals. Call us for an appointment today at 637-5433. With Jake Miller Financial Services, it's a beautiful retirement for the win.
Marty's Pawn and Arcade, located on First South in Price. Marty's Pawn and Arcade features the finest in sports memorabilia, autographed items, collectible art, and so much more. No matter what sideline you're on, they'll have your favorite team's collectibles. No team is out of market at Marty's Pawn and Arcade. From past legends to current stars, Marty's Pawn has the sports memorabilia you're looking for. That's Marty's Pawn and Arcade, located on First South in Price.
Yeah, you know what it is. Purple, yellow, purple, yellow, purple, yellow, purple, yellow.
Yeah, what's up? This is Metal Royal Peace.
And you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini. Yeah.
Back here on Drive Time Sports, KOL 107.3 FM, 750 AM. We don't talk too much hockey here on the show.
We should.
Well, no, we shouldn't. Travis is a big hockey guy. We talk hockey when we get to the playoffs. I think that's plenty of hockey, right?
Not enough. But yeah. I'll let it go.
We talk a lot once we get to the playoffs. Now, Las Vegas has played They're 2-0. They played two exhibition hockey games. They've won both, which is fairly impressive. How many moves did this team make once the expansion draft took place? They made like a record-setting amount of moves in a week span, didn't they?
Yeah, I think in that week span they made 30 moves.
The Vegas Golden Knights took on the Colorado Avalanche, and I don't know if you're going to find this nearly as funny as I do, but hockey officials, hockey referees, sometimes get into it. Wes McCauley is known for this, where he's got some a little bit of drama that goes along with the announcement that he makes on the ice.
Yes, he does.
He gets, think Leslie Nielsen, Naked Gun.
That's Wes McCauley.
Yeah, he gets animated. This referee my hockey knowledge isn't great, but he calls holding on Nathan MacKinnon of the Avalanche, who's basically a secondary captain on the team, and MacKinnon did not want to go into the penalty box for holding. Now, to my knowledge, this referee's a rookie, so he has worked his way up to be the lead official in an NHL game, and I found this sound clip somewhat humorous. Here he is making the announcement of holding.
Briefly, right before we got on air.
Minor penalty and holding. Get in there.
I don't know why I find that so funny. You're the play-by-play guy. Talk over this referee for a second. But he calls holding. He's going to send MacKinnon to the penalty box. MacKinnon's not going into the box. And so this referee has to tell him over the loudspeaker.
Get in there.
I don't know why I find that so funny.
I love it.
I don't know why I find that so funny. I guess because maybe I'm not a big hockey guy. I'm not. I've never heard, Dick Bavetta, or I've never heard, Bennett Salvatore, or any of these NBA officials have to tell an NBA player to go sit on the bench or to go back to the locker room, at least not over a loudspeaker. If they have, we've never heard it. It's the equivalence of Ed Hockley standing at midfield and telling Pete Carroll to get the coach's box. That's what it's the equivalent of, and when I get a kick out of this.
Get in there.
he probably forgot his mic was on, and he left his mic on because he made the announcement, and probably forgot to shut it off to tell him to get in there.
Oh, it's funny. That's classic. I think that's a great sound clip in the NHL. I'm not a big hockey guy, but kudos for that particular sound bite, because I don't care who you are, that's funny stuff. So, hockey, it's back, it's rolling. The Vegas Golden Knights are 2-0. I'm not going to even pretend to know enough about the Vegas Golden Knights to claim that this is this team's legit. I mean, you would know better than I would.
Yeah, they're not going to be legit. They'll be one of the worst teams in the league, but hey, it's hockey. You never know, but they shouldn't be very good.
Final couple of minutes of the show. We will talk boxing here for just a second. I want to mention this tomorrow. Paul Betson, who is the author of a new boxing book that I'm telling you, you have to pick this book up and read it, especially if you're like me. I grew up loving boxing. I remember the first boxing fight I ever watched. It was Riddick Bowe and Evander Holyfield 1. I remember watching this fight, and from that point on, I have been just completely engulfed by the sport of boxing. I love it. I love it. I love it. That was a great era for the heavyweight division in boxing when you had Holyfield, Bowe, Tyson, Larry Holmes was towards the end of his career. George Foreman made a miraculous comeback. That was a great, great era for boxing. Paul Betson, he's a writer. He's author of the new book, The Boxing Kings, When American Heavyweights Ruled the Ring. This talks about all kinds of heavyweight eras. We're talking Jack Johnson to Jack Dempsey up to Muhammad Ali and Mike Tyson. He's going to join us to talk about the book. I think it's going to be very interesting. Even if you're not a huge boxing guy, those names ring a bell. And he's going to talk about diving into their world, what they mean to the sport of boxing, and what they meant to not only the sport, but also to American culture. You got a guy like Joe Louis, who was monumental. He's an American icon for several reasons. In fact, Jackie Robinson called Joe Louis the most inspirational African-American athlete of all time. Paul Betson's going to join us on the show. We will talk boxing tomorrow for a couple of segments. I'm excited to listen to him dive into this book. He has sent me a PDF copy of the book, and in 2 days, I've pretty much gone through the majority of this book. I think I'm over halfway through it. You can't put it down. It's terrific. With that being said, over the weekend, we had a major middleweight boxing fight. Two foreigners, Canelo Alvarez, Gennady Golovkin. It went down at T-Mobile Arena. It did not feature an American fighter, but it was so huge. I can't wait to see what the pay-per-view numbers did. It ended in a draw. We haven't spent a whole lot of time talking about this fight. I scored it a draw. And I mentioned this on the show yesterday. I gave Canelo rounds 1, 2, 7, 10, 11, and 12. I had no problem with the draw. I don't think the majority of people had a problem with a draw. I think what the majority of people had a problem with was the final scorecards, in which one judge ruled it 114-114, which is exactly what I scored it. One ruled it 115-113. I believe that was Dave Moretti, scored it 115-113 in favor of Triple G. And then Adelaide Byrd. And if you follow boxing, you know that Adelaide Byrd has had a couple of questionable decisions in her time to begin with. Most noticeable, the Calzaghe-Hopkins fight, which was years ago. She ruled it 118-110, Canelo Alvarez. Now, even if you don't know anything about boxing, how in the hell does one judge score a fight 118-110 into one fighter's favor when one judge is ruling it a draw and the other is ruling it 115-113 to the opposite fighter? How can you see a fight that different? Because of that, Adelaide Byrd could go the rest of 2017 without receiving a single judging assignment from the Nevada State Athletic Commission. Longtime judge. She's obviously picked up widespread criticism, and I think it's all been justified. She's not going to get suspended, but I think the Nevada Athletic State Commission is definitely going to make things difficult on her moving forward. No official timetable has been provided for her return. I think you're going to get a rematch, an agreement here relatively soon. Dan Rafael of ESPN has already reported that both camps have already begun efforts to set up a rematch agreement, and it could come relatively soon. Would probably happen within the next 3 weeks if needed. And I'll tell you, just like I said going into it, I will favor Canelo Alvarez if we get a rematch. Out of time on the show today, I want to thank John Famalo, head coach of the Emory Spartans, and also Harvey Howard of the Desert Thunder Raceway. We're back tomorrow. We're also going to be joined by Coach Tom King. So we got a full lineup for you. Paul Betson, author of the American Heavyweights, new book that is out. We'll talk about that. And also, Coach Tom King. Be safe. We are out.